Okay. Welcome, and this is the teleconference meeting on Wednesday, January 3rd, 2019 of the Arizona State Board of Dispensing Opticians. Call to order and roll call.
Okay, it's Thursday, not Wednesday, and this is Irene Pettit present.
Suzanne Coleman present.
Terry Brown present.
Megan, have we lost some people?
Who's on the phone?
Guess I cut off again.
Oh, they just cut off again. Okay. Megan Dorian, Executive Director of the Board.
Scott Donald, Board Counsel.
Eileen, Susie, Terry.
Eileen Pettit, present.
We've already spoken. We're waiting on you.
Dale Nyblade, present. Susie and Terry already?
Yes.
All right. Declaration and conflicts of interest. I believe we have none. Possible violations. We're going to discuss Sears Optical, no licensed optician, Prescott, Arizona. Scott, I'll ask you to go over what you've come up with as per our discussion earlier.
Well, certainly legally speaking, there are...
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, thank you.
Michael, thank you.
Okay, legally speaking, the board has options with regards to the case of Sears Optical. Under the board statutes, the way this should progress based upon the facts before the board, typically, the legal structure from herein would be for the board to potentially direct the Assistant Attorney General to proceed with a complaint notice of hearing for disciplinary action, which could include any discipline options the board has, including suspension or revocation of the establishment license. For failure to meet board requirements, board statutory requirements, if the board believes that that is a basis to move forward. If the board did proceed with that course of action, then board counsel would draft and file a complaint notice of hearing or either a hearing before an administrative law judge or a hearing to the board. The board is the ultimate arbiter in board matters. So the matter could proceed to the board then for board counsel to act in a prosecutorial role, and Sears Optical would have the opportunity to be present, and it would be a hearing to the board. If the board found that Sears Optical was in violation of board statutes, the board would have a range of disciplinary options open, including, again, suspension or revocation of the establishment license. If the board revoked the establishment license, or indeed if the board suspended the establishment license and the establishment continued to operate without being in compliance with board statutes, the board could then proceed to injunctive remedy. Now, the way the board statute drafted, under injunctive remedy, the board has two options. One is to proceed against a person or an entity for up to $1,000 per violation. So there is a cash option if the board would like to pursue monetary damages for continued operation after a revocation or a suspension. The other option, the board statutes for an injunction specify that the board may seek injunctive remedy against a person. Person is defined in the board statutes as a natural person. So the board, under its specific injunction statute, the injunction statute does not provide the normal specific route to an injunction against an establishment. However, there are two options. One is to proceed against the establishment for an injunction under a special action or under other civil injunctive remedy, which is available. The board statute just provides a sort of a speedy and direct route towards injunction. Typically, in the case of the Board of Dispensing Opticians, it is geared towards a person, but there is certainly still civil injunctive remedy available. The other option is to potentially proceed against the individuals for injunctive relief, meaning the actual dispensing optician who is there, potentially the manager of the store, potentially there are a few people who could be individually served with injunctions to try to force them to stop acting in violation of board statutes. Now that is a course of action legally. It's on the realm of possibility. It's certainly a course of action that I couldn't recommend one way or the other specifically.
Right. No. Let me recap a little bit. I believe since the optician has resigned his position or his or her position, I don't think we have a recourse against an individual for violation. Unless it would be the general manager of the store.
Well, that would be the most probable people to name in an injunction under the board statute would be the general manager of the store, the
right.
shift manager, whoever had the store
whoever
open
has
during that time.
Say so.
Yeah. Right.
But
whoever's
the way I'm understanding is, as far as the violation, they are in violation. We've given them 4 months to remedy their violation. Therefore, I think we need to, as a board, we need to pursue with our financial function
right.
against them. And,
do we need to go into executive session to discuss this?
We don't have anybody other than board on the call.
Well, this is an open meeting, Dale. So this call is part of an open session of the open
okay.
of the board. The board certainly could. I don't believe that in this case, the board certainly could go into executive session for legal advice if you would like specific legal advice about the legal options that are available as I've outlined them.
I think
so
if
far,
we'll outline them, I don't know that we need
sure.
more to discuss other than deciding our next steps. And the one thing we need to deal with is the fact that we have the ability to fine them based on being in violation of not having a licensed optician.
Will that not, that will happen only after revocation of their license, though, correct? If I'm understanding it correctly.
Correct. Under the statute, what the board would proceed with next would be to take action against the license, the establishment. If
right.
the board feels the establishment is operating in violation of statutes, then the board could take action against the license. Once something like that has been done, if the board does find there's a violation after a hearing and does, in fact, vote to revoke a license, and if the establishment continues to operate, then the board can start pursuing injunctive relief at that point because it's unlicensed.
Civil action.
I think that makes sense. I mean, that seems like
obviously, the first step is to find them in violation, which they are indeed. They're indeed in violation.
If I can hold on, slow down for just a second, Dale. At this stage, if the board feels that there is sufficient evidence to proceed to a hearing, then the board could vote for the matter to proceed to a notice, complaint and notice of hearing. What that would do then is, if the board votes this matter to complaint notice of hearing, then my role would change. I would stop being board counsel on this matter at that point, and I would become the prosecutor, and I would then bring the matter before the board. I would draft a complaint notice of hearing outlining allegations and allegations of violations, and I would then hear it, the matter would be set for a hearing. Sears Optical would get a copy of a complaint notice of hearing, and they would be able to appear at the hearing to defend themselves. If, after all of the evidence was presented, the board then found Sears Optical to be in violation, then the board would vote on findings, on findings of fact and conclusions of law, and then the board would be able to take an action that it felt was appropriate based upon the violation. So there wouldn't be any conclusions at this point.
Right.
Right now, it would just be if the board feels that there is a matter to be brought for a complaint notice of hearing for a hearing to see if there's a violation, then the board would be able to, so a board member would be able to make a motion to bring this matter to complaint notice of hearing.
Right.
For revocation or for suspension.
Just so you know, because you were not there yesterday, that Sears said they were unable to find anybody to fill that position. They've tried, they've run out of options, and they wanted more time. And my response to them was, I believe they've had 4 months to remedy the situation and have not resolved it yet. So I think I would definitely entertain a motion to what you just said.
Yes, I would like to make a motion that we file a complaint with notice of hearing against Sears Optical.
And this is Susie Coleman?
Yes, this is Susie Coleman.
Thank you.
I think that.
Okay, and just for clarification, would that motion be for potential suspension or revocation of an establishment license based upon violations of board statutes, specifically failure to have a full-time dispensing optician as required under the rules?
Correct.
Yes.
Any discussion about that?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes.
If they can't find a full-time optician, can they fill it with two part-time licensed opticians?
They could, but they haven't been successful at doing that.
If they can come up with
32 hours of coverage, then they would have an opportunity to be able to fulfill that obligation. So long as they have 32 hours of coverage, that fulfills the requirement according to our statutes.
And it could be more than one person. And I have one other thing that I would like to say is, if we do end up fining them for some reason, I think the daily fine should be more than what it would cost them to have the optician there for 8 hours of a day.
It could be potentially, I believe, $1,000
per instance.
If I can interrupt for just a moment, I'm sorry, Scott Donald, board counsel, if I can interrupt for a second, I would probably not at this stage begin discussing possible penalties or sanctions until the board has made a finding of a violation at a hearing.
Yes, I agree with that.
That makes sense. Makes sense. Thanks, Scott.
Okay, so we've had it moved and seconded that we find them in violation of operating in an optical establishment without a licensed optician. Any discussion or questions? Okay, all those in favor, and please roll call. Dale Nyblade, aye.
Suzanne Coleman, aye.
Eileen Petter, aye.
Michael Siegel, aye.
Terry Brown, aye.
Any discussion? Any concerns? It's been moved and seconded that we find Sears Optical in violation of operating without a dispensing optician in violation of the establishment license for the Prescott location, Sears Optical number 1719. And it is therefore passed. Any questions? Any more concerns? Call to the
panel. Since it's been passed, what's the timeline?
Well, we will. Go ahead, Scott.
Certainly. The timeline from here on in, now that the board has voted this to a complaint notice of hearing, is I will draft a complaint and a notice of hearing for the case, and I will set it for a hearing date, and then Sears Optical will be served with a copy of the complaint notice of hearing, and which will specify the hearing date and time and location, and then they will have the opportunity to, under the statutes, they have an opportunity for a settlement conference. Other than that, we would prepare for the hearing, and at the hearing, then the board would make findings of fact and find conclusions of law and decide whether or not the state had met the burden of establishing a breach of the board statutes.
Scott, would February 6th be reasonable, which is our next board meeting? It's more than 30 days out.
February 6th would be reasonable.
That's our next board meeting.
February 6th would only be reasonable if this were able to be drafted and served by tomorrow. The reason being, it has to be served 30 days. You have to have 30 days notice, generally speaking. But I will double check the timeline.
I believe 30 days would be February 2nd. So I think if we can get it served in the next 3 or 4 days, we would meet that February 6th deadline, which is our next board meeting.
We would, with the exception that tomorrow's Friday and Saturday and Sunday aren't going to count for service. But I would, I will double check the timelines on that.
And, that's fine.
This will be filed as quickly as possible.
Sure.
It will need to be the procedure. From a procedural standpoint, the complaint notice of hearing would be actually signed by the executive director and served by the executive director. It'll be drafted.
And I believe they're expecting it because of our conversation yesterday at our meeting that we had with their legal representative from Cincinnati.
Certainly, and service is a good deal easier if there's already an attorney who has stated on the record that they represent
Michael Mott. Correct.
But at this point, what will happen is I will be able to discuss the case solely with Megan.
Right.
Because I'm now going to be in a prosecutorial role, and under the statutes, the board will now have an independent advisor appointed, which will be one of my colleagues in the Attorney General's office, who will not be familiar with this part of the case, but will be able to provide the board with independent advice regarding the application of board statutes.
Okay.
So my involvement will now be purely prosecutorial.
Right. That's what we need. Okay. So it's been moved and seconded and approved unanimously to proceed. Any other questions? Any other concerns? Okay, call to the public. I don't believe we have any public on call. So it is now 4:06 p.m. on January 3rd, 2019, and this meeting is adjourned.